Valerie's Young is a senior applications engineer for compression systems and IP transport at Evertz. His main focus is on software-defined video network designs, solutions, and product specifications. Prior to joining Evertz in 2010, he was head of the digital television broadcasting department at SkyLogic in Italy. He earned a BSc and MSc of telecommunications engineering from the University of Padua in Italy. Please welcome Valerie Ziyang.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this presentation on this exciting topic, which is essentially demystifying video over IP. These are the topics that I'm going to cover during the presentation. I'm going to talk about the different standards that we have out there for the transition from SDI to IP. Also, I'm going to talk about where we stand when it comes for Ultra HD over IP. I'm going to also touch on the 10 gig, 25 gig infrastructure. And one of the key, when it comes for this transition from SDI to IP, it's essentially the SDVN orchestration and control, the software-defined networking, and then also on the big data analytics. But before I get into the main topics, I wanted to share with you some factual info about where Evertz stand today when it comes to IP in the facility. We certainly started this journey 4 years ago. So it's been 4 years that we've been deploying IP solution around the world. And as it stands today, we have up to 40 EXE, which is essentially one of our specialized Ethernet switch fabric deployed globally. As a matter of fact, during the Rio 2016 Games, NBC used at its core the EXE to broadcast the event. So this is essentially a quick overview of where our switch fabric is actually deployed around the world. So clearly you can see that we are present in all the continents, right? And in Asia, in North America, you can see exactly that we have a lot of install of our SDVN solution. So now let's get back to the main topic. So I want to open my presentation with this traditional SDI workflow view. So this is an overview of essentially an SDI system. So in the core, you have your SDI router, and then you have all the processing elements or devices that are connected to the core over coax. There's a little bit of IP in the facility, but primarily IP is used to essentially bring the feeds into the facility or essentially contribute the feeds to our facility, and also for, let's say, file-based workflow. So why do we like baseband? We like baseband because, you know, we have one signal, one cable, which means that you don't have to worry about bandwidth over subscription, right? And this is also really helpful when it comes to troubleshooting, because you can easily follow the path of your signal across the facility. Also, we like baseband because of the simple control system. The philosophy behind the control system is essentially source, destination, and take, right? That is all what is required for a control system of a traditional SDI router. And no matter how many times you do that operation, it's going to happen the same way. Also, when you do a route on a traditional SDI router, it's discrete and deterministic. You can predict the result of the route when you do that on an SDI router. And this is exactly what gives you confidence and the confidence to be able to run your facility, right? For applications such as production, where vertical accurate switching is required, you can feel confident you can rely on your traditional IZEA router. Because no matter how many times you do the route, you know that the route is going to happen the same way. Also, extremely low level of jitter and latency. We all know how critical it is to have really minimal latency when it comes to, again, a live transmission, right? Or when you have to address issue like lip syncs, right? So it's one of the key aspects of the SDI base, or the baseband workflow, is that, okay, it provides you that kind of minimal latency. And then we have the fact that a baseband system is easy to manage. And you can see the benefit of that, again, when it comes to troubleshoot an issue. So an operator using a control panel can just recall a source on a video wall, right, easily by just selecting the source, destination, tick. So at any given time, you have that flexibility. You have the ability to promptly react whenever there's an issue in your facility. So what are the new challenges today? So we have broadcaster need to launch more HD services, right, in order to stay competitive into the market, right? So, and this essentially put pressure on the infrastructure because it means that they have to, in many cases, upgrade the facility. Also, there's a new trend in the industry, which is RTT. RTT is now as important as linear broadcasting, right? You have players like Netflix, Amazon, and so forth. So broadcaster essentially needs to embrace that technology if they want to stay competitive. And most of this content I consume over the internet or over the IP technology. And then we have Ultra HD. Ultra HD is essentially the new elephant in the room, right? Natively, Ultra HD is 12 gig of bandwidth, which means that broadcaster needs to also upgrade the facility if they have to essentially do Ultra HD production. And then we have also OPEX and CAPEX. At the end of the day, broadcaster wants to be able to cut their OPEX and CAPEX, which means that they're looking for a future-proofing facility that will be able to cope to any adversity in the industry. And by adversity, I mean any new standard or protocol when it comes to video. It's clear that the industry today have actually changed paradigm with adoption of IP. We can see that already because IP somehow helped to address this challenge that I talk about. But I'm going to essentially provide more details on that during the presentation. So I would like to share with you this quote from John Fulton, who served previously as a co-chair of SMT committee. And what John Fulton is saying here is essentially that IP as a transport technology, it's already standardized and working. So what essentially broadcasters have to focus on is essentially to make sure that the underlying media, which is carryover IP, is formatted as needed, as per the let's say the industry requirements, which is really huge from from us broadcaster, because we don't really have to reinvent the wheels when it comes to IP. So, what are the benefits of an IP of IP? First of all, I would like to start with less cable, right? So with IP, you're able to carry like 6 HD into 110 gig, right? So This is essentially allows you to have a better wiring of your infrastructure, right? When I think of trucks, essentially where they have to run tons of cables, so going over IP provides tremendous tremendous improvement when it comes to actually do the cabling. And then IP is bidirectional. Unlike with SDI, where for an operation such as up or down conversion, you need an SDI input or an SDI output, with IP, you can use the same link as input and output. Also, IP, and particularly 10 gig, is native as 10 gig. So you have the ability, essentially, IP and particularly 10 gig, it's native as optical. And we know how it's essentially efficient to wire your infrastructure using using fiber. And you're able also to overcome the propagation distance that you have, a limitation that you have with SDI or coax, right? So, and we can see the benefit of that when it comes for applications such as I said again earlier, trucks where they have to run tons of cables. And then IP, as I showed earlier in a traditional SDI workflow, IP has been used essentially in broadcast facilities to essentially bring feeds over the wide area network or to contribute feeds to other locations over the wide area network. So bringing the IP, bringing IP within the facility is just essentially bridging the gap. So what are the benefits of an IP facility? Format agnostic. It doesn't really matter essentially the underlying media which is carried into the IP packet payloads, as long as it's actually meeting the standards of the industry, right? So it could be SD, it could be HD, 3G SDI, or any or 4K or any upcoming format. It doesn't really matter. So investing in an IP facility, it's actually safe, because you have IP technology which is format agnostic. IP, another aspect, it's the scalability and the flexibility. The IP technology allows you to essentially remove the physical growth of a baseband system, right? Just as an example, 4K today is native as quad 3G SDI. So if you were to run your facility essentially using 3G using SDI, you will need to quadruple your resources, right? So, 1152 square SDI router will become a 288 square router if you had to actually do Ultra HD production using an SDI system. So you can see the benefit of actually moving to IP, because with IP, as I showed earlier, you can actually carry 6 HD over 110 gig, or 3G or 3G over 110 gig, or even 1 4K over 210 gig. And then efficient workflows. We used to have IP allows you to essentially move away from this linear workflow where you have A has to be connected to B, B has to be connected to C, and so forth, and then embrace a non-linear workflow. As an example, in many cases in a traditional SDI plan, you essentially have a multi-viewer which is dedicated per PCR, production control room, right? And we all know that a PCR is not always used at all the time, which means that multi-viewer might not be used efficiently. Whereas with IP, the multiviewer becomes a pool of resources because the output of the multiviewer it becomes a source in IP, and then you can route that source in any other location. So you can easily reallocate that multiviewer, which is actually sitting in your core, to any other purpose, like in another a PCR. So this is the flexibility that you can have with IP, because IP allows you to essentially overcome the coax length limitation in terms of how far you can go with your signal. And then the next point is path to virtualization. We have noticed that in the industry, broadcasters are gradually moving away from specialized hardware to embrace essentially network function virtualization, because it provides you the flexibility to actually leverage commoditized over-the-shelf, for instance, servers, and be able to run any type of function on those servers. But IP still remains the medium which is used to essentially carry or share contents across the different devices or across the different facilities. So now that we talked about the benefit of IP, the next topic that I would like to talk about is essentially on compressor IP. So IP is great, but how do we essentially make sure that we carry the content over IP the proper way, which means essentially the industry standards. The first standard I would like to talk about is SMPTE 22.6, which is one of which is the first in the kind, and to be able to allow the transition from SDI to IP. So with SMPTE 22.6, you essentially carry the SDR payload into the IP packet, right? SDR payload including audio, video, and ancillary data all together, right? There's no ability to actually separate, let's say, the different SDR elements or SDR essences. So SMPTE 22.6 is great for transport for point A to point B, right? Because most of the time you want to keep all the different components together. But when it comes to applications such as production, where we need to be able to access each component independently, SMPTE 22.6 is not that efficient. This is a quick overview. This is a quick view at the SMPTE 22.6 header. Clearly, you can see here that SMPTE 22.6 doesn't allow you to support any frame rate higher than 248 by 1080p. So you cannot map 4K with SMPTE 22.6. And not only that, you cannot support any frame rate higher than 60 hertz, right? So these are some of the limitations that you have with SMPTE 22.6. The next standard I would like to talk about is ASPEN. ASPEN stands for Adaptive Sample Picture Encapsulation. This standard, or this framework, was essentially proposed by Evert. And with ASPEN, you essentially separate the different components of SDI. So you separate the video, the data, and then the ancillary, and audio as well, and each component is carried in its dedicated multicast IP stream. So ASPEN has been now published by SMPTE 22.6, particularly the video payload into IP as a SMPTE RDD 37. So one thing to notice here is that, okay, with ASPEN, you wrap first the different component into MPEG-2 transport stream, and then after that, you encapsulate each component into an IP packet. And with that, you have the flexibility to essentially access each component independently and do things such as audio breakaway, audio shuffling, right? Or up or down cross conversion without the need to actually do de-embedding or re-embedding. So this is a quick view at the elementary stream header of the MPEG-2 transport stream, which is flexible enough to allow you to map private data, right? And this is exactly what Aspen encapsulation uses to essentially store video metadata, right? So with Aspen, you essentially leverage an existing protocol, which is MPEG-2 transport stream, which has been out there for many years. In order to actually better understand the benefit of Aspen, this is a quick comparison between 7222.6 and Aspen, right? So if you were to do audio breakaway using 7222.6, so in this view, you have two sources, HD1 and HD2, that are carried over IP, and then they go through your IP core. In this case, it's your EXE that we're going to talk about, that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. So if you were to do audio breakaway using the audio from HD1 and the video from HD2, you will have to carry both sources, HD1 and HD2, through your core back into your receiving device. And then at your receiving device, you will have essentially to de-embed the audio from HD1 as well as de-embed the video from HD2, and then essentially embed the audio from HD1 into the video from HD2. So you can imagine already how much power processing or bandwidth you will require in your core in order to be able to do that. And not only that, the extra processing which is required at the receiving device to be able to do that operation. Whereas with Aspen, all the different elements, they're already separate. So each one is carried, each one is carried within its own multicast IP stream. So what you will have to do is just to route the video from HD1 using, as you can see here, it's on multicast, and then the video from HD2 using its own multicast, and then at the receiving end, just essentially embed that audio into your video. So with Aspen, you can see the benefit of actually having less processing in your core and also less bandwidth required to be able to do that operation. The next standard I would like to talk about is VSF TR03. TR03 is a technical recommendation from VSF. It's another way to carry multiple stream essentially over IP. So it's similar with Aspen in the sense that with TR03, you separate the SDI elements, and each one is carried in its dedicated multicast IP stream. As you can see here, the video payload is carried as TR03, the audio payload is carried as AS67, and the metadata is actually still in draft. So, what is the status as I said earlier, right? This is just a summary of what I just mentioned. So, it's proposed as a technical recommendation by VSF. Eva certainly participated to the draft of TR03, and the video is carried as RFC 4175, and then audio is carried as AS67. And then you have a part which is called the session description protocol, which essentially allow you to be able to put in all the descriptors related to the different SDI elements. As we know, many vendors in the industry have come up with their own, let's say, standard or technical recommendation. And certainly this has raised some concern and some interop issues, right? And that is exactly why we have seen lately in the industry this essentially consortium to be able to come up with a new standard, which is SMT 2110. So the whole goal behind 2110 is to be able to make sure that the right thing is been done when it comes to SDIA, when it comes to uncompressible IP, and make sure that all the vendors in the industry essentially use the same standard, right? And with that, we'll be able to avoid interrupt issue. So it's all about harmonization, as you can see here. Certainly, EVERT start with Aspen, because at the time they were not really standard. They were not really a standard out there to be able to provide the flexibility within a production facility. So we started with the Aspen. We actually participated to TR03 draft, and then we joined EMS. So at the end of the day, we're on board with the harmonization, and the whole goal is to get to the point that we will be able to have a unique standard that everybody in the industry can actually support. So when it comes to TR03, when it comes to SMT 22.10, we can see that it's actually similar to essentially Aspen. You can see that each component is carried in its dedicated multicast IP stream. The audio payload is as AS67, and essentially you have, in addition to that, you have the precision time protocol, which is part of the standard for timing, and then the section descriptor protocol as well, to be able to reference all the descriptors for each of the different components. So where do we stand today when it comes to the standard updates, right? So we have SMT 22 family, which consists of essentially four main parts. We have the SMT 2110 which is in working drive, like a system that provides you a system overview. You have a SMT 2110-20 for uncompressed video, and then SMT 2110 for PCM audio, and SMT 2110-40 for ancillary data. Again, as I said earlier, the goal of SMT 2110 is to ensure that the right thing is being done when it comes for the transition from SDI to IP, and also to provide early IP adopters with future-proof solution. So in terms of interrupt update, numerous interrupts have been held in the US, and one of the largest was at Fox in Houston, where a lot of vendors, 26 vendors participated, but just a handful of vendors were able to actually show, SMT 2110, and EVERT was part of those vendors. So this is just a quick overview of where we stand today when it comes to the different standard that EVERT support. Clearly, we are on board with all the major standard in the industry, and EVERT is flexible enough to be able to embrace and adopt any standard that will essentially allow you to stay competitive in your marketplace. Now, now that we actually talk about a different standard, let's touch on Ultra HD over IP. So, in order to do Ultra HD over IP, production, we have two approaches today in the industry: compress or uncompress. So let's start with compress 4K. So the whole goal behind compression is to be able to allows you to use your existing infrastructure to be able to do Ultra HD production, or be able to fit Ultra HD into 10 gig because Ultra HD natively it's 12 gig SDI, so you need some compression to be able to fit that into existing 3G SDI or 10 gig. So the different format, the different codecs that we have out there is JPEG 2000, which is a well-known standard in the industry. We have a Sony LLVC low latency video codec, which is published as RDD. So with LLVC, you can fit up to two 4K into one 10 gig. You also have Tico. Tico allows you to fit one Ultra HD 4K into one 3G SDI or three Ultra HD 4K into one 10 gig. And then you have the VC2, which is also published as a SMT standard and was actually designed by BBC. So this is an overview of an Ultra HD production using IP. Clearly, as you can see here, in the core, you have our switch fabric. And then around the core, you have the different processing devices that are connected to the core, over multiple 10 gig, right? Clearly, you can use, as I said, compression to actually bring your feed into your core, or also using uncompressed to essentially bring also your feed into your core. Clearly, with uncompressed, with when you want to keep everything uncompressed, you can fit up to one 4K into two 10 gig. At the end of the day, because it's IP, the core is format agnostic. It will be able to support any format which is actually used to do Ultra HD production. So, for uncompressed 4K, right now, as it stands in the industry today, we have SMT 22.6. As I said earlier, is not able to actually is not able to provision uncompressed Ultra HD, and it was standardized only for 10 gig link. And there's also Sony NMI, which is another standard from Sony. It's not able to carry uncompressed Ultra HD 4K. And then even SMT 2110 has not finalized yet the standardization to be able to carry Ultra HD Ultra HD over IP. Anyway, we think that at some point this is going to happen because this is the path that the industry is actually taking. So drilling down. This is just a quick overview how you will be able to map 4K into IP, or in particular into 10 gig, using one of Evert's media gateway that allows you to essentially map up to 4K over six 10 gig. And then in your core, you have your Ethernet switch fabric, and then your multi-view as well. And depending on the type of production switcher that you have, you can still go back to SDI using the media gateway. So clearly, as I said, this today uncompressed 4K just because we want to fit essentially 4K into the existing 3G SDI infrastructure or into 10 gig. But compression comes with latency, and we know that latency is really critical in essentially most of our application, and also which means that we have to essentially resolve all the interrupt issues that comes with the different codecs that we have out there. And this leads me to 25 gig, because 25 gigs today allows you to essentially go back to essentially the SDI type philosophy. Because with 25 gig, you're able to carry, you can carry up to 8 uncompressed 3G SDI over one single interface, or you can carry up to 2 uncompressed 12 gig SDI Ultra HD over one 10 gig, which is really huge, right? And then you have more density, less cable, and then it's also ideal for aggregation. So with a 25 gig, you essentially keep everything on compress, which is essentially always the choice of everybody, because you don't have to worry about all the latencies and the complexity that the compression brings into the equation. 25 gig versus 40 gig. 25 gig is a single duplex interconnection, right? It's a full 25 gig bandwidth. Whereas with 40 gig, you still have four lanes of 10 gig, which means that for Ultra HD, you will always have to carry one Ultra HD over two 10 gig cable. And even though you have one 40 gig pipe, you still carry your Ultra HD over two 10 gig, two 10 gig independent lanes. And this, in any case, we always provide some complexity. In terms of switch fabric, I just want to quickly essentially go through the purpose-built IP switch fabric here, which is essentially the choice, the Eeverse choice, because in the industry today, you have multiples. We have two approaches. You can use a standard IT switch, or you can use a purpose-built IP switch. Why did we actually went the path to actually have a purpose-built IP switch? Because with that, you can essentially utilize the SDN on a white box switch fabric, as we do with an SDR router. The SDR router, the control system of the SDR router is external. It's not within the SDR router itself. And then like other, like Google, Facebook, Amazon, who actually essentially build their own IP switch fabric in order to be able to meet the requirement, we actually did the same in order to be able to have a solution which is tailored for broadcaster. So with a purpose-built IP switch, you also have control on deterministic switching with constant latency, which is essentially what one of the key requirements for a broadcast facility. You have control on the full non-blocking, which allow you to essentially have to prevent oversubscription. The system is fully redundant, no convergence issues. And then you have a simple configuration and management system. So which allows you to control your Ethernet switch fabric like a traditional SDR router. And this is all done using your software-defined networking controller, which is in this case is Magnum SDVN. And also, you have the ability to determine the size of your system. And we all know that it's really important to be able to have that scalability within a broadcast facility. So in terms of switch fabric requirement for live video, you have the high capacity. So as a replacement of an SDR router, an Ethernet switch fabric should have at least the size of a traditional SDR router. It has to be non-blocking, and then also support ultra-low latency. You have the visibility, which is also really important, right? Visibility is what gives you confidence to be able to run your facility. And then full control of the path. So you want to be able to choose how the traffic flow across your system, as opposed to have the switch taking care of determining how the traffic will be forwarded to your network. And then it has to be a deterministic switching, because this is exactly what provides you that that confidence and then flexibility, which is required in a broadcast facility. And then it has to be also time aware, right? Because we know that timing is really paramount in a broadcast facility. In terms of redundancy, also the Ethernet switch fabric has to support redundancy, all kind of redundancy, pad redundancy, hardware. had a redundancy and also security. So what does EVERT offer? In terms of switch fabric, we have two families. We have the EXC and the IPX. In the EXC, in the IPX family, we have three form factors. We have the IPX 16, 32, and 64 ports. And then in the EXC family, we have the 40 rack unit, the 28 rack unit, and then we just launched the 16 rack unit. The EVH is another new product that we launched this year at NAB, which is a software-defined compute and routing platform. So what is unique with the AVH? It's essentially the ability to allows you to essentially use the virtualization, because with the EVH comes the edge compute blades, and the edge compute blades allow you essentially to virtualize operations such as up or down, up, down, cross conversion, IntelliGain, audio IntelliGain, and so forth, right? So it provides you that elasticity and agility that you will benefit when you actually move to IP. So one of the key, as I said, one of the key aspects of the SDVN or the transition from SDI to IP is the orchestration and control, right? So what are the benefits of SDVN and orchestration system? It's essentially the ability to be able to allow you to have an end-to-end control, which is exactly what we're looking for here, because the end-to-end control provides you that confidence, right, to be able to operate your facility. And then the control, the SDVN orchestration abstract the IP complexity and provides to the operator a simplified user interface to operate the facility by using things such as control panel, right? So you'll be able to run an IP facility just using a traditional control panel, right? And then we have bandwidth management. Bandwidth management is really important, especially now that you can carry multiple signal across one 10 gig cable, right? So the SDVN orchestration system allows you to prevent bandwidth oversubscriptions. And then it works for hybrid SDN and IP solution. Also, the SDVN orchestration allows you to manage and schedule resources, because with IP now, you can take advantage of what we call pool of resources, right? So you're able now to allocate resources as needed. You can spin up process on a compute blade as needed, depending essentially on the task that you would like to complete. So this is just a quick illustration on how an SDVN IP workflow. A quick overview on how an SDVN will actually operate in your IP workflow. So assuming that you want to route camera 1 to encoder 3, through your control panel, you will go source, destination, and take, and hit, you will go source, destination, and hit, take. The control panel will set the command to your controller. The controller will set the path, and then send the command to the edge device along the path so that the traffic could be forwarded from the source to the destination. And no matter how many times you do this operation, it's going to happen the same way, right? And this is exactly what the type of behavior that end user are expecting. So when it comes to timing, we have two ways of timing an IP facility. You can time an IP facility just using black burst, which is what we've been using for years, and it just works, right? So from your master clock, you will just send your timing, your gen lock, and then through a DA, that timing will be essentially pushed to the edge device. Another way would be to use PTP, right? As shown earlier with SMPTE 21010, the new timing method will be used by PTP. So with PTP, you have your master clock, and then your master clock will be generate your PTP packets, which carries actually your timing, and then from your core, you'll be able to send that to your edge device. So the last topic that I would like to touch on is Insight, right? Insight is essentially Evert's big data analytics. Now that we move into IP, and especially with size like 2,000 gig port with the EXE40 rack unit, there's a lot of data that is going across your switch fabric. So you want the ability to be able to control and troubleshoot all the data that are going to your switch fabric. You want to be able to have that confidence anytime that you want to be able to troubleshoot an issue to your facility or do any sort of utilization training of any edge device that you have within your facility. So Insight allows you to essentially collect all kinds of data from different type of devices across your facility, syslog, SNMP, unstructured data, and so forth. And then from this data, you're able to do things like create reports, troubleshooting, utilization training, data graph visualization, and so forth, right? So what is, of course, there are many other solutions out there, many other big data analytics out there, especially in a data center. But what is really unique about Insight, it's essentially the integration of Insight within our network management system called VistaLink, right? So with VistaLink, you have some visualization tool. So VistaLink is able to tap into your data analytic, retrieve data, collect data from the data analytics, and then correlate those data in a such a way that the end user has a constant monitoring of the traffic flowing across your system. As you can see from this example, two flows are identified, two multicast streams are identified, are highlighted, and by highlighting those multicast streams, you're able to see the path of each of these flow across your infrastructure from the source all the way to the destination through your switch fabric, which is really huge from an operation time standpoint, This is not even something that we have in the SDR world, that you can actually follow the path of your traffic and get to that level of details, right? And all these data that are used here to actually do that correlation are coming from the big, from Insight, because Insight is sitting there just collecting all kinds of data. The next one is just another view, right? Where essentially you can have more flows that are actually visualized. So again, this gives the confidence that is required to essentially run an IP facility, especially now that you have so many streams that are going through your system. So this is just again another slide to emphasize the deployment of Evers IP solution, right? So these are essentially all the different customers where we have our SDVN, software-defined video network, software-defined video networking solution deployed. So it's happening. We're not just talking about it. All these vendors actually have our solution deployed. And with that, I conclude my presentation. Thank you very much. I apologize, I ran over time, but I'm willing to take any question that you may have. Thank you.